Just a couple follow-up ha'aros on the last shiur, and then we'll move on to today's shiur. We had mentioned last time in the context of synthetic garments, Milchas Yitzchak and Chazon Ish and others, that indicated when it came to begadim, even though in general synthetic material may not be mekabel tuma, for betumas begadim it would be. And Gabe had asked, at least as far as nylon and the like would go, isn't that against the din that kol shebiyam is einam mekabel tuma, which the Rambam formulates even in the context of tumas begadim? So looking back at this more carefully, I think what these achronim are saying is that they're working with the assumption or the argument that water-driven materials aren't considered min hayam, meaning that exclusion in Hilchos Kalim, that something that is material min hayam is not mekabel tuma. That's as far as a sea creature that grows in the sea, but water itself or oil, petroleum, which is a water derivative from the sea, wouldn't be part of that exclusion. And that's the basis of the suggestion that, you know, something like nylon, which is petroleum derived, may be mekabel tuma begadim. Okay. One final hour on the topic of begadim sivonim, Rabbi Forst points out in the Sefer that there may be significance to the difference in formulation between einam mekabel tuma and begadim sivonim, which is that when we talk about that which is einam mekabel tuma, the formulation used is a davar she'einu mekabel tuma, an object which is not mekabel tuma, is not mekabel ksamim, as opposed to tzivonim, which is more typically formulated in terms of a beged. So that may have a mashmos that the exclusion of begadim, of tzivonim, is only for begadim, but not for other materials or other kalim, let's say. In the Shari Tara, Bichil Michel Stern, he points out in Simen Yud Ches that maybe there's a diuk that way in the Rambam. Not the way in the Rambam, sorry. Rambam writes in Perek Tes Halacha Zayin, Aval klei tzivonim ein choshishin lekesem nim sebehen. Klei tzivonim, we're not concerned about ksamim. Lefikach tiknu chachamim shetilba sheisha bigdei tzivonin kidei latzila midin aksam. So klei tzivonim, and then the Rambam writes, big day tzivonim, so it sounds like begadim is lav dafka, or the exclusion of tzivonim also applies to kalim. Any kli that is kalim to be excluded from chavalas ksamim, and therefore tiknu that a woman should wear begadim tzivonim. By the Shulchan has a siyuk as well in siyunim sifkatan kuf tzadi zayin. And the Rabbi Forrest quotes, by the Shulchan quotes, the Sholem Eshev, Tlisa'a Chelik Aleph Simin Shin Samach Beis, Tlisa'a Chelik Aleph Simin Shin Samach Beis, who's bothered by the Gemara and Samach Amid Beis. There the Gemara discusses a case where there is Dam Al Sfasa Shalom Bati, there is Dam found on the rim of the bathtub. The Gemara discusses Dam that was found on an Allah Shal Zayis, on an olive leaf. And the Chachamim were mitame those scenarios because they held against Reb Nechemya that even a darvish ain't mekabel tuma is mekabel ksamim. So points out the Sholem Eshev, the Gemara there only raises the issue of ain't mekabel of darvish ain't mekabel tuma in this context, doesn't raise tzivonim. The Allah Shel Zayis was presumably not white, and the Sfasa Shalom Bati also likely was not white, and yet the Gemara only discusses this in the context of a cliche and a mekabel tuma, not in the context of begadim tzivonim. So isn't that a raya? Asks the Sholem Eshev that the exclusion of begadim tzivonim is limited to begadim and doesn't apply to kalim. That's the Sholem Eshev's ara. Rabbi Forrest further points out that even if, back to his reading of the Rambam, the reading of other Achronim, if you're going to focus on Klei Tzivonim and Begadim Tzivonim of the Rambam and say that Klei Tzivonim is more expansive and the Heter is not limited to Begadim, it still may be the case. It still may be the case that Beged is still lafuke al Bisara, meaning there is a kula of Begadim Savonim, maybe there's a kula of Kalim Savonim, but it wouldn't necessarily apply to a flesh that's Savua, meaning if a woman were to wear nail polish and find the Kesem on the nail polish, that wouldn't necessarily be Matzil Miksamim, even if you'd argue that a regular Kli Tzavua would be Matzil from Ksamim. Lahalacha, Rabbi Forrest and the Baal Shulchan Paskin that the Kulab Tzavonim apply to Kalim as well. And they quote that the Shlomo Kluger passes that way in his Shiare Tara, that is not limited to Begadim, it applies to Kalim as well. However, Rabbi Mendel Sendrovic, Av Bezdin of Milwaukee, who I just moved to Lakewood this summer, in Shuvas Atzei Besamim Yoredeya, makes the following observation. This is in Simon Kavtes. He says that's not necessarily such a diuk in the Rambam, what Rabbi Four, what the Shari Tara said and the Baal Shulchan said, because when the Rambam writes, the Klalius, the lashon of klei tzivonim ein choshen lekesem, and then says lefikach tiknu begadim tzivonim. Sometimes the lashon of klei is used to refer to a beged. So it's not necessarily a diuk that the Rambam dafka says klei tzivonim is supposed to begadim tzivonim. Klei could mean a beged also. And what's the svara? The Shari Tara assumed that the svara to be matir, or the reason that you have kulas ksamim begadim tzivonim, applies to kelim as well. Those, as far as you saw in Rashi, that eino nikar bo kamar dam gamar, that if you see a kesem on kalim begadim, you can't necessarily ascertain whether that's really dam. So says Rabbi Chaim Hilchos Stern, that should be applicable to a kli as well. If you see dam on a kli, that's savua, maybe you can't tell the mar dam. Says Rabbi Sandrovic, not necessarily. There is a qualitative difference between the way a kesem appears on a beged and the way a kesem appears on a kli. A kesem on a beged is absorbed to a certain extent on the beged, and that absorption into a colored beged distorts the image of the kesem. But that absorption doesn't happen both on mida on a kli. If you have, let's say, a plastic box with that's colored, and you have a kesem on that box, the fact that it's colored doesn't prevent your analysis of that kesem the same way that a kesem on a beged necessarily would prevent it. And he says you have a diuk in the opposite direction of the Rambam, because in that same halacha where the Rambam talks about eina mekabel tuma, the lashon of the Rambam is that it's nimsa al, that the kesem is found on a darajena mekabel tuma, as opposed to by begadim sivonim, the Rambam uses lashon of a nimsa behen. So nimsa behen is mashma a little bit dafka in the beged, that it's absorbed into the beged, as opposed to nimsa al, it is found on a kli, but it's not absorbed in the kli per se, the way it would be absorbed in a beged. He says it could be the later poskim quote the lechem b'simla as saying that the din of begadim tzivonim b'matzil miksamim applies to kalim as well. But he points out the lechem b'simla is only talking about a kesem that's found on a hide. So on a hide also, that absorbs the way a begad absorbs, but you can't necessarily prove from that that the din would apply to a kli as well. And he quotes further Nod Behuda, the Nod Behuda Tinyana Simin Kuftes. So the Nod Behuda there is done about a kesem that's found on a toilet seat, which originally was used as a tray for kneading dough on. So the Nod Behuda there is done only mitzad Eina Mekabel Tuma. He's not done mitzad tzivonim, so Rabbi Sandrovic assumes that this toilet seat, which used to be a kneading tray, was probably tzavua. don't know if that's Bechreach. And therefore, he says, another Huda not being Dai Mishim Sivonim. Sounds like he also assumed that Sivonim are only relevant by Begadim and not by Kilim Service. And the Rabbi thinks that Lalacha, should be Machmer on this, that a Kli Tzavua is not Matzul Miksamim. And the most of the Achronim in print that discusses sound like they're Makel on Kilim Sivonim, just like on Begadim Sivonim. Okay. So let's move on now to try to run through some of the highlights of the rest of the Simen Kuf Tzadi and the topic of Tlias and the topic of Ksamim that are found in various locations on the body. So the Yesod, to begin with, Sif Yud Aleph, which is where we left off. So the Yesod of Sif Yud Aleph, the Yesod of the Sugya in the beginning, the Mishnah, the Sugya in the beginning of Haroa Kesem, is that if you find a Kesem al Bisara, that's only going to be Tameh in a place where it's possible that that Kesem came Migufa. The formulation of the Rivid in the beginning of Sharek Samim Simid Beis is as follows. And now that we're in Zoom, I guess we have the luxury of screen sharing. So let's pull this up for a moment. So the Rivid Bali Nefesh, the beginning of Simon Beis and Sharek Samim. Hey Maksamim Hadumim Shanimsu Bechaluk Al Nimsim Nechagor Lamala Thu Asinar Shehi Chogeres Al Yerchosel Itznias Haksamim Shanimsu Mimenu Lamala Einu Cheshesh Lehen Afabi She'en Blah Bamet Libos. So if it's above the area of the Chagor, where it's inconceivable that that dam would have come migufa, then you're not choshish for that kesem, even if there's no other tliya per se. Batam lefisha eina mechuvanim b'malkam ria. It's not situated in a place where it would be connected to the dam coming migufa. The nomar b'vadai zos aver b'shuk shel tabachim ve'eino zacheres. And therefore, so what's the explanation? It's not in a place that it readily could have come from the body. At the same time, there's no ready tliya. So where did this dam come from? If there's nothing to be told on it, and also didn't come migufa, where did it come from? Something has to give. So says the Ravid, v'nomar b'vadai, zos aver b'shuk shel tabachim, v'eino zocheres. So if something's going to give, you'll have to say that the woman must have been passing through the meat market and not realized. Oshem ha'macholos nesmaich, or maybe there's a macholos there that she didn't know about. So you have no choice but to assume that it came from some alternate source, even if there's no ready tliya per se, because it definitely couldn't have come migufa. So that's the yesod of the different chilukim that the Mishnah, the Gemara has, as far as a kesem found in different parts of the body. If it's plausible that it's found in such a place where it could have come yigufa, then you attribute it to gufa, unless you have other kulas ksamim. Even, but if not, so then even without an active tliya, you have the right to assume, and you have to assume that it came from some external source, even if we can't attribute it to a specific source that we know about. But here, there may be distinctions between times and places of the amakom, the azman. So for example, the Mishnah has that if you find a kesem al akeva tameya, if you find a kesem on the woman's heel, then she's tameya because the heel may have come in contact with oso amakom. It could have come in contact with the place where the dam would have come out migufa and landed on her heel. So the Taz writes in Sifkat and Yud, Shavanaga Balsa Makam Yeshivasa, Pirish Reprisha, the Hainu Kisha Yeshivasa Kedaracha Yishme Elim. So that's where a woman sits. I presume that means what we used to call Indian style, which is not PC anymore. So now I think you're supposed to say cross-legged. But that which we perhaps pejoratively called Indian style, the early Achronim called Arab or Yishmaeli style. So if you sin in such a way, so then there's the possibility that Dam could appear on your heel that came in a Makor. But if we don't sit that way, so Rav Avadia quotes from the Maaseh Rokeach and the Rambam that if you're in a place where that's not the normal sitting style, then a woman would be Tahora if she finds Dam on her ankle. And that's what the Piskei Das assumes Lahalacha. Aruch HaShulchan disputes that. Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Mem Vav writes that you should have said, like the Taz, based on the Taz, you should have said that Bim Bedina Seinu, people don't sit that way, then the woman is Tahora, even if she finds Dam on her ankle. But the Poskim don't say that, and the Ramah didn't say that, and people weren't sitting Indian style in Krakow at the time of the Ramah. So why didn't the Ramah say it? It says the Aruch HaShulchan must be that we're concerned that maybe she sat that way v'lava daita. And then he says, no, better than that, the real reason is that even if you don't sit that way, but women sit in different positions, and sometimes you can move the body, and sometimes it's possible that the angle could be situated opposite Ozamakam, and Dam could come out migufa onto an angle. So Lemaisa, even Rav Avadia is machmir, unless you have Elit Zirufim, to be mokim Dina de Mishnah, the Iker Din, that even if you find Ala Keva, women is Tamea, even if it's not the norm to sit in a cross-legged style. Similar detail, the Brisa has Nun Chesem and Aleph. That the Nim says al kishrei etzbo seha tamea. If you find Dam on the knuckles, the women's tamea nishum shiyada skaniyo saying because women move their hands and touch all around, so it's possible that she touched the area where Dam would have come out and fallen on her knuckles. Says the Rashba, Ibra maskel Nim sal kishrei etzbo seha. That's only if she was doing a bedika, she was touching that area, and she didn't wash her hands afterwards. Below bedika, vaday lo chayshina and shema naga yada shelo bekavan bebeis hatorfa. However, if she wasn't doing a bedika, you don't just assume yadai maskani yosem. But to say that yadai maskani yosem, she's randomly touching osamakam, that's a bit extreme. So it's only if she did a bedika and her hands are in that area anyway, and then she didn't wash her hands. But if she didn't do a bedika, we're not concerned that she touched that area shelo bekavana, because asuya hi lizar shelo tislach lechida. Woman is careful enough. Woman is careful enough not to touch that area unless there is cause to do so. So that is the comment of the Rashba here. Magen Mishnah in Perek Tes Halacha Ches assumes that Mistimas Lishonam, the Rambam and the Ramban argue about this. The fact that the Rambam and the Ramban don't raise such a distinction. So the Magen Mishnah thinks, according to the Rambam and the Ramban, even if a woman was not doing a bedika, had clean hands, we're still concerned that maybe she touched some area of the body where Dam could have splurted out of Osamakom onto her body, onto her fingers. Bina Sadam writes, Chachma Sadam writes in so I don't have the Chachma Sadam in front of me, I don't have the Mar Makom here. The Chachma Sadam writes that the fact that the Rambam was a Mechalik, we all know Darko Shel Rambam is to quote Gemaras, and we wouldn't expect the Rambam to make distinctions that aren't explicit in the Gemara. And therefore, you can't bring any Raya, as the Magen Mishnah tries to do, Mistima Slash and a Rambam, that the Rambam argues on this Rashba. And he says the Rambam also, he's not convinced that the stima slashan Haramban indicates that either, especially because the Rashba quotes me Rabbo, and he thinks that that may be reference to the Ramban. Fine. So the Mechaber writes in Seif Yud Aleph, in Nimsa Yada Fila Kishra Yatsbaseha Shidai Maskani Yosein Veshamanagu Also Bakum. So that's essentially Binokate Lashon Ha Rambam. Says the Shach in Sivkat in Yuches Mashma Lehedya Midirveyator, which is Lashon Shulchan Aruch, Dafilu Bistam Chashina and Shema Nagu Vachidas Rabba Magid. So the Shach thinks that the Stima Lashon Machabru, which is Stima Lashon Rambam, sounds like the Magid Mishnah, that there's no distinction and Dam Al Kishi Espasa is going to be Tameh regardless. And Rav Avadya thinks that that Shach is not Muchach because the Mechaber is not Nokate Lashon HaRambam straight. The Mechaber adds the words Shema Naga Bosamakom that doesn't appear in the Rambam. So that sounds like that's an Asinus Tam, that Shema Naga Bosamakom should be modified in a situation where we know that she definitely was not Nogas Bosamakom. And Rav Avadya writes that he found the Lechem HaSibla makes his Sara on the Shach as well. Says the Piskei Tshuva in Sivkatan Kaf Gimel. Kasva Sidri Tara, the Dafka Minastam Chayshinan Shema Naga Biyada B'makom De'efshar Lipol Dam in a Makor. Avalam Amr Barili Shalanagati Bosa Makomos She'efshar Lipol Shandam in a Makor Nemenes. So middle position, that if a woman doesn't have any consciousness one way or another, it'd be machmer. But if she's able to tell you, Bari Li, that I didn't, my hand didn't come in that area, that I didn't touch that area, then she has namanis, then you don't have to be choshesh or kesem al kishrei etzba seha. You don't say, milsa de la ramya anafshe, that she... You can't expect her to be conscious of what she touches. No, if she says Bari Li Shinoget Lonagati, we go with that. And therefore, even if you'd be Machmir like the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that Al Basara is Usher, even Pachas Mika Gris. But over here, when it comes to Al Kishrei Etzba Seha, so then there's more room to be makel about, especially B'tziruf, Divrei HaRashba. The Rashba anyway says that it's a limited case where we're going to be Machmir, where we know that she was doing a Ptika. So B'tziruf, the Rashba, and this understanding that she's believed to say Barili, the Piskei Tshuva says, in that case, you could definitely be makel on a Kesem found Al Kishrei Etz Boseh. And Rav Avadya thinks that everyone should agree, even the Rishonim that are so same, and even if you said the Magid Mishnah's reading of the Rishonim that are so same, Rav Avadya thinks everyone should agree that if Lamaisa, a woman, washed her hands and then found the Kesem Al Kishrei Etz Boseha right after she washed her hands, so that Kesem should be Tahar. Okay. Let's jump a little bit, and we're going to come back. Jump to Sif Lamed Tes, where the Mechaber writes, "Eina isha tmeya mishom kesem shematza b'chaluka." A woman is only tmeya because of a kesem that she finds on a garment. Ella imkein haya badagla. Kodem Shelevashto. So a woman is only Tmei Misham Kasem on her garment if it was a garment that was Baduk. It was checked beforehand that there were no Ksam on it. Alam Eina Baduk Kodem Shelevashto. Shelevashto below Bidika Masaba Kasantar. But if it's a bag of Chain of Baduk, then we're not concerned about Tumas Ksamim. And if you find a custom on a Beged Sheina Badak, the woman is going to be Tahora. Okay. The Marmakam of the Bina Sadam I quote a few minutes ago is Klal Kuf Yud Gimel Oth Yud Dalet. Klal Kuf Yud Gimel Oth Yud Dalet in the Bina Sadam. So the Chachma Sadam writes, in Klal Kuf Yud Gimel Se'if Lamed Ches, Falkuf Yugimel Sif Lamed Ches. Let's pull this up on the screen while we're here. So he writes, working off this din, Lufizei Yesh Lomar, Kema the Nashim Shalanu Einan Bokos Haksones Kodem Halavisha Imlo Haisen Isharez Aniach Osab Mako Mutzna Takav Archa Akvisa Elishenicha Osab Komash Enim the Kiyam Kigon Bemita Vachayotse Bo Umotze Sham Pishpishin Im Kain Lishlos Yesh Litlos Bazet. That our women, Chachmas Adam writes 200 years ago, plus, wouldn't check their garments before wearing them. So unless it was put in a safe place after washing them, which wasn't the norm, so then a standard baguette that a woman is wearing is considered ein baduk. So if you're in a place where there are pishpishin around, you can be tola on the pishpish. Aval, iminichu takef makamutsna, afa pishala budka osa kodem levisha. But if it was in a safe place, even if you didn't check it before you put it on, chena filu inicha bemita, elish ain pishpisha mitsuyam sham, or you put it on your bed, but you live in a place where there are no bugs. Imyosa mikigris tamea, imakasem maglid, the kalbegel, achakvisa mikamaka mikaskas jabavadai, shein bo dam. Maglib. So Chachmas Adam writes that if you're in a place where the norm is that you don't check a baguette after you wash it and there were pishpishin all around that could have come on, so then you have the right to be tola on a pishpish. But if it's in a place where the norm is that you do check it or a place without pishpishin or it wasn't a makam mutzna, so then that is the status of a baguette habaduk and would be subject to the regular halachos of ksamim. And subject to those halachos would be Tameh if you find such a keset. So Rabbi Karp writes, v'shem Rav Yashiv, that nowadays, where stam houses don't have pishpishin around, don't have bed bugs or other bugs around, so any time that you wash a garment, it's becheskas baduk, unless you have reason to believe otherwise. So any stam properly laundered garment would be subject to regular Tumas Ksamim. Okay. So the Braisa on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis indicates that if a woman is wearing three garments, one on top of the next, and she didn't pass through a Shuk Shel Tabachim such that there's no ready Taliyah, then even the upper garment is not subject to Taliyah. So this is quoted in Sifya Beis. Nimsa hakesem al chaluka lamata mechagor, etc. Yeah, so that's not explicit here. I mean, that's behind this, but the din of three chalukim, of three garments that are worn one on top of the other, so that's expanded on by the Sidri Tara here quoted by the Piskei Tshuva, which is what I wanted to look at. So Piskei Tshuva, Se'if Katan Kavav, I am a Sidri Tara, Se'if Katan Memhe Shekasav, Tahad De'isa B'shas, Lav Shashlosha Chalukim Zal Gavzeh, Im Eina Yechala Litlos, Eina Tola Afilu Be'elyon. So that did, that if you're wearing three garments, one on top of the other, then you can't even be tola the outer garment without a regular tliya, without a legitimate tliya. So even if you're walking, if you're not walking b'shuk shel tabachim, then you can't even be tola the outer garment. So it says the Piskei Tshuva, according to Sidri Tara, dafka gimel chalukim sheheim kisonos ha-tachtonos, u'bahani ikala meimar sheniskaplu ha-tachtonos. So what we're talking about is three garments, even if they're one on top of the other, but they're all the possibility of touching the skin, of touching the body. They could fold over themselves. They're all taftonos on some level, such that there's a possibility that they could fold, they could move, and even the outer garment at some point might touch the body. Aval b'malbushim gemurim, u'b'fal malbushim shalanu. But the way we dress, says the Sidri Tara, in Prague in the 1700s, where there are clear outer garments that would never touch the body, near the are layered garments, near the ein chosheshes be'alyo, the lekel meimar b'mabushim ke'elu sheniskaplu. So that din of gimel chalukim, that's only where there's a possibility that even the outer one could touch the body. But if the mode of dress is such that an outer garment, there's no way in the world would touch the body, so that din doesn't apply. And then even without a ready tliya, you don't have to be concerned about a kesem found on the outer garment. So Rav Yashiv is quoted by Rabbi Morgenstern as saying, page 335, that Rav Yashiv is only makel where there's no possibility at all that the dam could have reached that outer garment. Rabbi Karkos of the Yashiv that you may have the possibility sometimes, even if a woman is wearing undergarments, but maybe something the dam could seep out from the side and end up touching the outer garment. The default would be based on the Sidri Tara that if a woman is wearing a tightly fitted undergarment, then if she finds a kesem on an outer garment and there's no real way that dam could have bypassed the undergarment and found its way to the outer garment, then we wouldn't be concerned about that kesem. What Rabbi Karp, Rabbi Morgenstern, quoted from Rav Yashiv is that it sounds like a case by case. You have to see, is that always the case? Or maybe sometimes the undergarment is not tight fitting enough and there's a possibility that dam could go through the side and make it onto an outer garment. But the theory, based on Sidri Tara, I think is across the board, that if there's no possibility that dam would have landed on the outer garment and bypassed the undergarment, then the woman would be tahora. Rav Osner points out in Shira Shevet Alevi, that argument also has a chumrah element as well. So, for example, usually that'll be a kula, but for example, you have the din in Sif Yud Ches that if a woman is going through a shuk shel tabachim, so Mechaber writes, Kevin Shaksam and Rabbanan, Makilim behem the Tola b'chol davar she'chol libos. Ketzad, Shafta behem achayo of onus aska b'ksamim, Yashu b'tzadim is aska behem, O sha'ava b'shok shel tabach v'nim sadam b'begadeha, Tola ba u'tahora. So all these tuliyos are invisible. Afilu lavesh es gimel chalukim zal zeh, v'nim sa'afilu b'tachto u'tahora. That if she's walking through a shuk shel tabachim, she's wearing three garments, and you only find a kesem on the inner garment, on the lower garment, you can still be tola on the shuk shel tabacha. So Rav Osner says, if you're going to be makel to say that if she's wearing an undergarment, then you're going to be metara kesem on the outer garment, then you'd also have to be machmir that if b'begadim shalanu, she's walking through a shuk shel tabachim, and there's no reasonable way that the blood would splatter from the tabachim onto her inner garment without splattering on her outer garment, and you see a kesem on the inner garment, then that you can't be tola on the shuk shel tabachim. So Raza just points out that if you're going to be makel like the Sidrei Tara, that also has a ancillary chumrah in the Sif Yuches case as well. Okay, and so Lemaisi says that if a woman is walking through Shuk Shel Tabachim and then finds a kesem on her undergarment, so there's no legitimacy in being told that kesem on the other found in the undergarment on the Shuk Shel Tabach. Sif Kaf Beis, Mechaber writes, Safikim Avar B'Shuk Shel Tabachim, O Yashua B'Tzayim is asking the Tzamim. So if there's a Safik as to whether there's a Tuliyah, Safik whether she walked through Shuk Shel Tabachim, Safik whether she sat next to people that are Osei B'Ksamim, Eina Tola Behem. So you can't be Tola simply based on a Safik. Medvar Mamurim, Be'ir Shel Tabachim, Omis Askim B'Ksamim, Yashim Makam Yadua. Alan Darkam was Asik Kan V'Kan, Tola Nafila Misafik, Sheminis Askim B'Makam Sha'av Revel Oregisha. But if the Tabachim are walking all around town, and then there's more of a possibility that you might have passed by them and not realized, then you can be told either even the Safik. But this time, if there's a designated meat district in town and the woman has no recollection of walking through the meat district, so that's a Safik whether or Safik whether she was Overis B'Shuk Shel Tabachim, then you can't be Tola on the Shuk Shel Tabachim. So that's what the Gemara has on Zion on Chas of the Bays towards the top. Oh, sorry, it's after the Mishnah. Sorry, the first Gemara after the Mishnah in the Chesam and Beis, the Mishnah says, Yashva, the Gemara says, Yashva in lo Yashva lo, Tanino had the Tanar Rabbanan, Ava b'shuk shel tabachim, if she's passing through a shuk shel tabachim, Safik nita zaleh, Safik lo nita zaleh taleh, so she knows she's passing through a shuk shel tabachim, she doesn't know whether Dom splatter on her or not, so then she has the right to be tola. Safik avra, safik lo avra tmeya. But if she doesn't bechlal know whether she walked through the shuk shel tabachim at all, then she is tmeya. Says the Or Zarua in Simen Shin Nun Aleph. Or Zerua Shin Nun Aleph. The Dafka Besveka Achas Tola. So the ability to be Tola is if you have a single suffix. Aval betray sveki, low, but not if you have a double suffix. Kedama v'gemara, yashva in, lo yashva low. Tanino, ad tana rabbanon, avi v'shek shal dabachim, savik nitas la, savik lo nitas la, tola, savik avi, savik alav, lo tola, perish. Mishem da avalu trey sveka, dintim salomer avra, shema lo nitas ala. So the Or Zerua frames this in terms of a svek sveka, that if you don't know whether she passed by it at all, so that's essentially a svek sveka. Safik avra, safik lo avra. V'imtim salama avra. Safik nitas, safik lo nitas. So if you have a single safik, you have the right to be tola. If you have a svek sveka, then you don't have the right to be tola. Then the next if, kaf gimel, Nisaska bidavar adom, v'nimsal akasim shachar o ipcha. So if she's osekes with a kesem of one shade, and then she finds, or she's osekes with an item of one shade, and then she finds a kesem of a different shade, ein tolin bo. So you can't be tola because one was black and one was red. Medvar murim, adam shachar shachar ba'adam. That's if there's a clear difference between the two colors. Aval adam ba'adam, shachar b'shachar, afilam einu nikar mamish shadomalo, tola though. You go into this, ask him, eitil son, and may basar, bekilur, adam, tzas, tola ba'adam. And if it's different shades of red, so there's a possibility that it still came from the source, even though the shade is a little bit off. In that case, you could be tola. So where do you draw the line in terms of how dumb it has to be to allow a taliyah? So the Ramban writes in Perek Gimel Halacha Kaf Gimel that a woman doesn't need to be makif. She doesn't have to hold the kesem next to the source of the tliyah. She doesn't have to do a careful analysis to compare the color, as long as it's somewhere within the ballpark. If it was red and red, you don't have to compare the two reds to each other. If you know that one is black and one is red, so then you don't have the right to be tola. And this comes up again in Sif Lamed, where the Mechaber writes, based on the Ramban, Ein atzvicha lahakif, perish inyan akafa hu ledama stavar ledavar, hakasem ledavar shitolabo, elatola minastam, achiteda shizah shachvizad, and that's essentially the Lashon Ramban in Halachos. Says the Sidrei Tara in Sifkatan Mem Hey. Sidrei Tara Sifkatan Mem Hey. That if you know that it's not Dom at all, even if it's Adam Be'edom, you still can't be Mekel. So you don't have to be Makif if it's within the ballpark. But if you know that it's a divergent shade of red, then you can't be tola. So minastam, you have the right to be tola. But where you could tell just by looking at it that it's a different shade, so then you don't have the right to be tola. So if it's shachar ba'adam, you definitely can't be tola. If it's en ba'adam, this time you can be tola unless you know, or it's clear enough that they're different enough shades that you can't be tola one on the, you can't be tola kesem on the source of that which you were osek with.
Maybe?
Yeah.
And you're not mechuyav to check, meaning if you know you were tola in some red and now you find a kesem and you don't know whether it's the same shade, you're not mechuyav to try to figure that out.
Right, so that's what this din of hakafa is saying, that you're not mechuyev to figure it out. The way Rav Ozner says that, you know, part of this deals with the general issue of what is the obligation to be mevar, what's considered chisaron yediyah, right? Usually by or what was considered Efshel of Arui Bakal. So along those lines, Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in Sif Kaf Gimel, Nisaska B'davar Adam, in Nisaska B'tseva Adam, Yesh La'ayin, De L'chora Aser, De Efshel Avar Ha'idei Avar Estal Samanim. So we'll see later on, we talk about Maros, that the Mishnah has a formula for ascertaining whether a red is a problematic red or not, at the time that people are mafkin between reds, which we don't do anymore. So then, if she's Nisaska B'tseva Adom, and you have a red kasem, why don't you have to be mavara through havara samimanim, whether the source is dam? Ba'afte einan abikiyim, but what do you mean? We don't do that anymore. We don't know how to do the havara samimanim. We never do that. Have a Savik Machmas Kisarin Yediyah. But okay, but that's only Savik Machmas Kisarin Yediyah. And in general, Savik Machmas Kisarin Yediyah, you can't be Makel on alone. So that's the issue that Rikki Baker raises. Maybe you should never be able to be Tola. A kasem on some other source, because there exists a mechanism for figuring out whether it's really dam, and even if we don't know how to use that mechanism, that's sabi chisarin yediyah. So the later svarim say we don't assume like this. Rabbi Kveger, Pesach Das, Rav Osner, that when it comes to ksamim, the principle is that if you have what to be tola on, unless you have clear indication that you can't connect it to that source of the tliya, you have the right to be tola, and there's no further chovas biur. Biur, that's part of, that's built into ksamim. Ksamim is a chumrah derabanan, but there are built in kulas to that chumrah. They're built in parameters. And one of those is the right to be tola if there's a clear source of the tliya, even without doing biurim that maybe in other areas of halacha you'd be mechuyev to do. So as far as the detail of the shades here, so if it's clearly a different shade, you can't be tola. If it looks like relatively the same ballpark shade, you don't have to be makif unless you know for sure that that it's not attributable to the source of the tliya. Okay. Mechab writes in Sif Kavav, Nisaska B'dam she efshir shiya mimenu kesem elikigris. So if a woman is being osekes in dam where the source of the dam could only create a kesem the size of a gris, and then you end up with twice that size of dam. So you have the right to attribute a single gris to your hisaskus. And the second gris you can attribute to macholas, because you can always attribute up to a kigris vo to macholas. Here you have two grisim, and you have a taliya for the second gris. So you can use both. You can be tola the one gris on the macholas, on the phantom macholas, and one gris on the hisaskus b'ksamim. But if the kasem is more than two grisim, so then game's over, and she is tameya. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, ukegris b'macholas, chuvas milvstaka kasav, didak b'shtiach tuva. The gam ragil liyas b'makom zuma talinan the mizdamein l'dam shenis aska v'nim elakasem echad. So here, where you're dealing with casting the size of two gisim, you can only be tola heaven a macholas if that's a place where there are macholases mitsuyas. And And then there's a possibility that maybe that macholis latched on to the original source of the hisaskas. So Rav Uzner, consistent with his reluctance to take the kulas of macholis bismanenu too far, writes over here as well, that maybe this din bismanenu should only apply with the shiur macholis shel zmanenu, meaning the right to be tola more than a gris and a combination of a tlia with macholis, maybe only have the right to do that with the shiur macholis bismanenu, shel zmanenu, which would be less than a gris, as we discussed in the past. Okay. We had noted a little earlier in Sif Yud Ches that the Mechaber in the list of tliyos says you could have other tliyos also that are not on the official list. So one of those other tliyos, the Pesach Tshuva quotes in Sifkat Laman Aleph from the Chamudei Daniel, would be a nosebleed. That if a woman has a nosebleed and finds dam somewhere on her body that's potentially attributed to a nosebleed, then that would be a legitimate tliya as well. Okay. Take a look now at Sif Mem Beis. So the case there is a woman lends a garment to a katana shalarasa meolam, to a underage girl that never had a re'iyah before. And so this woman's the Ketana Zakala, she has Bia Rishona, and she wears it before Chaisa Maka from the Dam Besulim. So various cases where there's a possibility of being tole a kesem found in a garment to someone else. So Pesach Tshuva and Sifkat Mem Gimel raise the question, quoting the Tshuva of Rabbi Gveger, of being tola ana pnuya, meaning you give a garment to a single girl who has riyos, but she never goes to the mikvah because she's single. So can you be tola on that the dam came from that penuya? So the Piskei Das said this is relevant. Let's say you have girls at home that sometimes sit on the mother's bed, and then you see a kesem on the bed, so that potentially could be attributed to those girls. Okay. The halacha is beginning in Sif Mem Ches, basically Mem Ches through Nun Beis. So that's based on the sugyos on Nun Ches Amud Aleph and Nun Ches Amud Beis, that wherever you can't be tole on one woman more than the next, let's say one of the cases, if you have a garment that three women wear, and it's not, there's no ready or tlia to be told on one woman over the others, so then all those women are going to be Timaeus. As opposed to, if there's a tzad to be told on one more than the rest, so then tolina kilkol b'mukulkal. So the Taz writes in Sifkat Lamud Vav, and the first in Sif Mem Ches, Shalosh nashim shalav shulchalak echad ashi yashvul tafsel echad zuach erzu v'acher haznim shalav kasem kulan tameos. So three women are sitting on a bench. Three women are sitting, are wearing the same garment. And then one after the other. And then you find the kasem. You don't know whether the kasem should be attributed to any of these three women. And there's no reason to assume that it came from one over the next. Then all of those are tameos. Says the Taz Hitkotan Lamidvav. This then applies, even if the three women are asking the shayla, not the vasachas, but one after the other. What is he talking about in Sif Kaf Hei? So that's the din of Shtei Nashim Shinesavsky B'tziparacha, the top of Nukhasim Beis. Two women are oskos with the same bird, she'en bo dam el kasela, and that bird can produce a sela's worth of dam. V'nims al kol achas kasela, shtein tameos. And each one of them now has a kesem the size of a sela. So it can't be that the dam and both of them came from the bird, because the bird only produced a sela's worth of dam, and together the two of them have two sela's worth of dam. So in that case, both of them are tameos. So Tosus asks over there, the top of Nemchas Amid Beis, the context of this Gemara is that the Brisa started on Daf Nemchas Amid Aleph, that Aruka Shalavsha Chaluka Shal Tsara, a tall woman wore a garment of a short woman, the Ksara Shalavsha Chaluka Shal Aruka, and a short woman wore the garment of a tall woman. Imagia Kineged Beis HaTorf Shal Aruka Shtei and Tmeya. So if there's a possibility that either one of them could have been the source of the dam, they're both Tmeyos. And if not, only the tall woman that could have been, only the short woman that could have been the source of the dam is Tamei. Then the work was another braisa. Baka chaluka. Vishilasa lechaverta. So you checked the garment, you lent it to your friend. He tahora. Lechaverta tolaba. So you're tahora, and the other woman can be tolaba. That's only in terms of kosha mishpat, who has to pay the laundry bills. Avalinyan tuma he tahora v'chaverta tameya. If you checked it first, you're tahora, and your friend is tameya. So the Gemara says, Maishna v'haditanya shtei nashim shenes aska v'tzibur echad. Our case are both tameyos. So the Gemara answers, Shani hasam dikasel yisera. No, the case of the two birds, there's too much dam to account for anything. So ask Tosos Tema. Madam al Hachdil El. Dacha ain litlos bazoo yoser mi bazoo. So in the case of the tzipor, there's no reason to be tolling one woman over the other woman. Aval El ain litlos brishot a whole baka. But in the case above, it makes sense to be tolling the first woman. The first woman checked the garment, it was clean, and then she gave it to her friends. It's more likely that the kesem came from her friend. Pyarm Vinatam. De Brisa Irish and his aska bitzipor zoo acher zoo. The Bryce is talking about a case where she's osekes in the tzipor one after the other, meaning one woman touches the tzipor, then the next one does. Vim haisa nishales harishona hayina mitarinasa hovinas aska. So if the first woman would have asked the shayla, we would have been mitar her because she saw a sela and the tzipor yielded a sela. Vishvil chaver to anu mitamin harishona she tora gemura gam lamala. And the only reason that we don't say that is because of the second woman. So in the above case, even though the first woman was beduka, so where the second woman is tola, that's going to affect the first woman. So the Taz understands in this Tosfos that the Brisa is talking about a case where the Brisa is talking about a case where the Shaila is asked together, Lemaskana. But if the women are asked the Shailas one after the other, so the first one we would be Metahir. Sorry, that scratch that. The Taz understood that this Tos is going on the earlier stage of the Gemara, but Lemaskana, even if they are Nishalim Zachar Zeh, we would be Metame both of them. And the Taz quotes the Bach, who understood in Tosos Halacha that if they're Nishalim Zachar Zeh, we would be Metare both of them. And the case is only where they're Sholin the Vasacha. So the Taz has to deal with how is this different than the case of Shnei Shvilin. The Mishnah Taras Barakay, that if there are two paths, there's a tum in one path, not the other path. Two people walk, one walks in each path. So someone definitely walked through the tummy path. We don't know who's who. And they both come to ask the Shaila. So there, the din of Shnei Shvilin is that if each one asks the Shaila independently, you can be Matar each one independently. And the Taz understands over here that in the case of the Tziporim, if each woman asks the question independently, then you're mitame each woman. So the Taz has to address what's the difference between the case of Shnei Shvilin and the case of Shnei Tziporin. So it's not so clear exactly what the Taz means. The Chavistas explains the Taz as follows. Chavistas in Sifkatan Yudalit. Yes, Chavistas is Tupshatim. So this is, he rejects the first, and what he comes out with is that the yisod of Tliya Biksamim is that you have the right to be Tola, where the Tliya is a more likely explanation for the appearance of the Kesem than saying that she was Rasa below Hargasha. Meaning you see a Kesem on a Beged. So two possibilities. Either it came Migufa below Hargasha, she didn't realize, or it came Me'alma, came from some outside source. So the ability to be tola on a tliya, on a shuk shel tabachim, is where we say it's more likely that the source of the dam was from this outside the gorem, from the shuk shel tabachim, from the his askus b'ksamim, from the tzipor, than that it came migufa below hargasha. So in a case of Shnei Tziporim, or in a case of Gimel Shalav Lavshu Cholak Achas, which the Taz says in the same Yisod, that three women are wearing the same garment, and even if they ask the Shaila Bizar Chazat, you have to be Metame all of them. So where you're dealing with a Tliya that takes into consideration someone else, meaning you want to say that the Dom came from the other woman and not from you, so you still have to say that the dam came Berea below Hargasha on the other woman. So anyway, you slice it, you're forced to say that there's a Berea below Hargasha somewhere. So that the Tliya is not going to help you for. The Yisod of a Tliya is that a Tliya allows you to be told on a more likely scenario that it came from some other source and not a Re'iyah below Hargasha. But if you're being told al Chaverta, so you're saying that that the Chavera had a Re'iyah below Hargasha. So it doesn't really gain you anything. That doesn't help you as far as the net of what is this Tliya accomplishing. So that's why Chavis Das explains in the Taz, that's the distinction between Shnei Shvilin, which is not based on the Yisod of Tliyos, and the local consideration by Ksamim, that even if they're Nishalim B'Zachar Zeh, you can't be Mekel for anyone.
Wouldn't the Taz and I guess that was Taz in this opinion agree that if there was reason to assume that it was one of them more than the next that you would follow? But if the whole thing's about a Taliyah in the first place, being, you know, the definition of Taliyah being a different source of blood, then even if it's more likely, that shouldn't apply either, no?
Right, so that is true, that if it's more likely to come from another woman, so we're going to be told on that woman. But all things being equal, so you're dealing with that kind of a likelihood. But if you're dealing on an even a level playing field where there's no more likelihood of one or another, so that's this analysis that a tliya b'chaverta is fundamentally weaker than a tliya on any other source. The Aruch HaShulchan says differently. He also is trying to explain the Taz. He says this would be the explanation of the Taz. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, let's look at it together. In the case of Shnei Shvilin, everybody has a Cheskes Tara, Ilula Yashvilin, the Kol Safek Tumah Hu Etzlam Meyashvilin. The whole source of Safek is because of the Shvilin. The Lachain Bezakhazah Mokmino Kol Echa Becheskes Tara. So you have the right to be Mokim every individual the Cheskes Tara as long as they're not Nishalim Bevasachas. It's the same thing by chametz where an achbar goes into one house, we don't know which one. Do you require another bedika? The achbar came in after bedikas chametz, so every house is becheskas baduk. Rak aide achbar nisores safek. So that's the same. You saw that if the mishalim is zakozeh, you could be mekel for each one. Aval b'kam, when it comes to ksamim, hatumos me'anoshim hein me'atzman me'aksamim shematzu. So the source of the tuma is the ksamim. If there is tuma, the source of the tuma is the ksamim. V'zeh hatzipor nitzrach lo tzian mikismeyan litlosbo. So there's no cheskas tara. The default is that there's a kesem that's tame. You want to be mitar them on the basis of a taliyah. So you want to say that maybe that dam came from the tzipor in that case. The eich nitla bo came in she'eno keneged shteyan. Umemela omdim nikismeyan utmeas. But the bottom line is that there is essentially a cheskas tuma. And if you want to be most of them from the Cheskas Tuma, so in the whole picture, you have to have a Taliyah that's going to take the whole picture into consideration. Here, there isn't enough dam in the Tzipor to be Machshir, both of them. So absent an active Taliyah, they're both by default Tumeus. And the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that's the kavana of the Taz, why this is different than Shnei Shvilin. And the Shach argues on the Taz, the Shach min Kudas HaKasef, and he assumes like the Bach, and this is how he understands Tosfos, that there is a difference halacha between Basachas and Zecharzeh, even when it comes to Ksamim. And therefore, lahalach the shach thinks that if it's b'zach or zeh, then they are tahoros, both in the case of the gimel shalav shukalak achas and the case of the tzipor. He says the Rashba says otherwise it's the shita, so that even by beis shvilin, the Rashba paskins at b'zach or zeh, they are tmei. Okay. So this relates to some extent to a broader question of Tarta de Sasre in a Safek Derabanan Lekula. I think we should probably wrap up, and I guess we're not going to have time to discuss some of the other ramifications of that. Just one, lest you think that shailos like this never happen, I'll just leave you with shailos that Rabbi Sendravik has in the same volume, Asei B'Samim, Simon Lamed. The shaila was that after the mikveh attendant was cleaning up one night, she found a kesan on a towel that was left in the mikveh, and that could have been attributable to any of four women that used that room that evening. So is that this din of Gimel Nashim Shalafku Cholak Achas, where it's no more attributable to one than the other? Is this considered Nishalim B'Vas Achas B'Zachar Zed? Do we assume, like most of the Achronim and the later Achronim assume like the Taz against the Shach over here, Sidri Tara Kavazas, and assume like the Taz that even B'Zachar Zed, we have to be Metame all the women? So leaving aside all the back and forth, which is interesting, his bottom line is that he thinks maybe the analysis should yield that this is not exactly the case of Gimel Nashim Shalavchu Cholak Achas, because he quotes the Chasan Sofer in Chidushim, the Tesla Beis, which is a little bit along the lines of the Aruch HaShulchan that we quoted before, who explains why is it that the case of Gimel Nashim is different than the case of Shnei Shvilim. Says the Chasan Sofer, the Shnei Shvilim, ilu lo haya ala echad hayatar. When it comes to Shnei Shvilim, if there's only one person, it would be pasha that that person would be tar, because he had the right to assume that he walked through the tahor path. And the only reason we think to be metame him in the case of two people going on two paths is because of the other guy. Because in that case, one of them is definitely tame. So then, if they're bizarre zeh, make a taste that you'll be metame this person, because as far as he's concerned, you have the right to rely on his cheskas tara that he was tahor, and you have no evidence that he walked through the tame path. However, when it comes to ksamim, if you only had one woman asking the Shaila, she definitely would be Tamea. The only reason we're thinking of maybe being Matar, this woman, is because there's more than one woman in the picture. So that's the case. We're only being Matar her because there's more than one woman. So Mechatesi, that she should be the one that we're Matar. Maybe the other one, you can look at each woman and say, Mechatesi, that we should be Metire this one just because there's another woman, and everyone defaults to being Tame. So says Rabbi Sendravik, that's different than the case of the towel. Because if the case of the towel was only Nogea, one woman who used a towel, and then that towel would have gotten mixed up with other towels, we'd be mitar her, because that towel is batel in the other towels, and you have no reason to assume that this woman used this towel. And that's more analogous to the case of Shnei Shvilim. So here, there's a towel found here, but essentially, that one towel is what, there are many towels, there are four women use, let's say, four towels. So don't look at it from the perspective of you have a kesem and one tau. Who is this kesem attributed to? Look at it from the perspective you have a kesem and one tau, but there are multiple taus here, and that tau is batel in the other taus, and you can't, you have no reason to attribute this tau to any specific woman. So that's maybe more analogous to Shnei Shvilin than Gimel Nashim B'Chalak Echa. So you can take a look there in the Atzei B'Sam and Simon Lamed for further analysis of that Shaila. But I think we should wrap up for today. So Mirz Hashem, after Yontiv, we'll pick up with Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Sugya of Isha Shemasa Dam Bashtana, which is the sugya beginning on Nuntesamid Beis. It's a complicated sugya. The Shitas Rishonim are complicated. We're not going to spend that much time on it. So you'll take the first few days after Yontiv to work on it. But I don't expect spending more than one shir on that simen. But that's the plan for immediately after Yontif. So everyone should have a Gemara Chasima Tova, a good Yontif season, and we will, Mirz Hashem, reconvene. I guess the next Chabur will be the Sunday after Simchas Torah. And Bli Neder will send you new Marmakomos once Simchas Torah is over. Okay? Very good. Gemara Chasima Tova.
Thank you. Gemara Chasima Tova.